Welcome once again, my friends, to Before You Buy. We've got some great products for you, including the new Bloggy that streams from Sony, the Droid 4, a camera we've all been waiting to take a look at, and an internet radio that rocks. It's all coming up. Make sure you watch Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Welcome to Before You Buy, everybody. Leo Laporte here. And as usual, on this show, we've gathered together many of our stalwarts around the TWiT Brick House to review some of the hottest new products. I love this, and I think they do too, because they get a chance to play with all sorts of new products. Dr. Kiki, poor Dr. Kiki, Kirsten Sanford, who hosts our science shows, she's been using the oldest Droid. She finally got a Droid 3, and then Motorola came out with the Droid 4. She said, please let me review it. So we did. Dr. Kiki?
Hi, I'm Dr. Kiki, reporting for Before You Buy for TWiT. I am reviewing the Droid 4 by Motorola and Verizon. Droid 4 is the most recent in the popular line of Droid smartphones, and it really does bring the Droid back to the forefront of smartphones. Now, what does it? Well, a number of things bring this phone back, but most specifically, 4G LTE capability. That's what does it. It comes with a SIM card, 4G SIM card, that you can put in the back of the phone. Oh yeah, difficulty here of getting into the back of the phone. You have to get a key for the back of the phone to be able to remove the back. You push it in a little hole. It reminds me of old iMacs, having to stick a paper clip to be able to eject a disc. Anyway, to be able to get into the back, stick the key in, remove the back cover, insert your SIM card, and you are 4G LTE ready to rock and roll. All right, the phone. Very similar to the Motorola Droid 3. The reason I'm reviewing this phone is because I've been a Droid user since the original Droid. I now have a Droid 3, and so why not compare, right? Compare and contrast. First thing you notice, form function. The form is completely different. The new Droid 4 is slimmer, sleeker. It's a great phone to hold in your hand. The Droid 3 is a lot bulkier. Okay, the screen. You're not going to see anything really different in the display between this Droid 4 and the Droid 3. If you were used to the 540 by 940 resolution of a Droid 3, if that's what you're using, that's what you're going to get. It is an HD screen, so still very crisp, clear visuals. The display is very pretty. So let's get into the camera. The camera itself is really important to me, being in media and also a new mom. I take a lot of pictures and I take a lot of video. So I want really good resolution. I want to have saturated colors. I want stuff that looks really good. Looking at the output of this camera compared to my Droid, it's better. The resolution is better. The colors saturate a lot more. I got people here to take some pictures of me, and you can see the difference. There is definitely a difference between the newer camera quality versus the old camera quality, which is great. Motorola has been improving cameras since the original Droid. So the camera is 8 megapixel, 1080p resolution, HD resolution, but it comes standard out of the box 720p, so you have to go into the settings and change that if you want it to be recording at the higher resolution. I took some video of my son. Yes, new moms do that. Took a picture of Kai, took some video of Kai playing at the playground. We're in bright sun with shadow. You can see that the new camera handles the difference in lighting pretty well. It does a really good job, and there's not too much drag with the resolution when the camera moves around. So it does a pretty good job. Similar video on my Motorola Droid 3. We see that the whites are a lot more blown out. The bright spots are a lot lot brighter and wider, and the resolution is not nearly as good, and it doesn't handle the drag as well. So video, once again, an improvement here. What is the thing that this droid has that no other droids have? A slide-out keyboard. I like the keyboard. Thought it was a great fix. The one thing I didn't like here is that they did move the at symbol up into the upper row rather than giving it its own button, which as a Twitter-holic, I guess you could say, having a standalone at button was pretty cool. So the pros and the cons here. My pros, it has a slide-out keyboard. That to me is a really big deal, and I honestly do not buy a phone without a keyboard. So for some people, this is going to be good. For some people, it's not. For me, it's a huge pro, and the keyboard works really well. Thumbs up. That's a pro. Also a pro, the camera, 8 megapixels, 1080p, HD resolution possible. That's a pro. It's a much better camera than previous droids. Additionally, the display is crisp and clear, and it is nice and sleek, which for a pretty big, bulky phone, makes it nicer to use. Now, the cons, this phone, for some people, it has a keyboard. For me, that's not a big deal. But for other people, that might be a sticking point. The camera, it's not as good as an iPhone camera. There's a lot of room to improve, so that's definitely a negative. So a lot of people are going to be buying more and more devices for the phone for the camera quality, and so Motorola definitely has room to improve here. And that's about it. So to me, this is a really great phone at the $199 price point. I think you're getting a lot for the money, and I think it's definitely a major contender in the smartphone area if you like the keyboards. So for me, it's definitely a recommended buy. I'm Dr. Kiki, reporting for Before You Buy with Twit. You can find me on Dr. Kiki Science Hour, which records live Thursdays 4 to 5 p.m. here on twit.tv. Also, This Week in Science, don't forget about that show, Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time.
I'm just going to send her a text saying, sorry, you can't keep the camera. And what is all the slime? Oh, it's the baby. Actually, it's kind of nice to see that Motorola is continuing to make droids that have built-in keyboards. I know Kiki really likes that. And anybody with a baby should have a great camera. Maybe we can get one of these for Dr. Kiki. Coming up, Tony Wang, our camera reviewer, takes a look at the top of the line, a Canon Elf. When they announced this one, I just went crazy. This is the S100. I'm so jealous that Tony got to take it for a ride. Let's see what he thinks.
I'm Tony from Twit, and today I'm here to review the Canon S100. It's going to be my first point-and-shoot camera review ever. So let's go shoot. The Canon PowerShell S100 is a very high-end point-and-shoot camera, priced at $429. It's not exactly the cheapest. It's pretty much the top of the line point and shoot you can get right now. And it's even got GPS built in, sort of the feature that everybody has nowadays on their point and shoot. Another notable feature that it has is the aperture goes all the way down to 2.0. Even though it says on the lens right here that goes up to 5.9, I was able to put it into 8.0 in manual mode. So I'm not really sure what the inconsistency is between that and the camera function. The zoom on the camera is pretty typical at 28 to 105 at 5x optical zoom. And of course it's got built-in image stabilization, which works really well in still photography as well as video recording. And speaking of video recording, it does do 1080p at 24 frames per second. And there is a special faster slow motion recording mode at 120 frames per second, as well as 240 frames per second. Another feature that Canon added to the S100 from the S95 is the ISO now goes up to 6400, and obviously there's noticeable noise at 100% crop, but for a point and shoot it's pretty good, and you can also shoot raw as well, so you can always fix it in post. The GPS has two different modes, one where it logs where you take your photo, and the other one is where it's always constantly on. I had a lot of issues with the GPS where it just doesn't work indoor at all, period. The autofocus on this camera is surprisingly fast. I tested it side by side with another point and shoot, which I'll be reviewing later, and this is almost twice as fast. And as fast as a digital SLR, if not at least a Micro Four Thirds. My favorite feature of this camera is this function ring right here, where you can actually set it to any option you like. I always shoot with this set on aperture priority, but you can actually change it to your ISO speed, or even to your manual focus, or your exposure for compensation, white balance, or even zoom. You can zoom with this ring, so that's pretty awesome. I find myself, even when I'm not taking pictures, just turning the ring. I just like the way it clicks. It's got very good tactile feedback. So the pro of this camera is that it's got a huge aperture at f2.0. I mean, I never heard of any point and shoot that has f2.0 at all. And this aperture ring, it's so functional. The con of this camera is that the GPS just doesn't work indoor whatsoever. I can't get it to work, it just doesn't work. And that's the only con I have. Buy, try, or don't buy, go buy this camera right now. If you don't have it, go buy it. You're looking for a point and shoot, this is the camera for you. I'm Tony for Twit, and this is the Canon S100.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get this one away from Tony. Really a nice camera. I love the GPS built in. And man, f2.0 in a point and shoot, that's amazing. I think a lot of professional photographers will carry the S100 around in addition to the big cameras. Just so, you know, you always want a little camera that you can carry so you don't have to lug your big camera around and in places where you just don't want to be so conspicuous. All right, get ready. We've got a couple of short reviews. We're going to do these just a little bit, kind of a synopsis of these reviews. If you want to see the whole thing, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit, and see the full deal. Eileen Rivera is going to review this new Sony Bloggy camera. This one's got live streaming. That should be interesting. But we'll kick things off with Chad Johnson, our own board op, with this new really big Jabra headset. Did you like this? What do you think, Chad?
Hi, my name is Chad Johnson. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy, reviewing the Jabra Supreme Bluetooth headset. Let's start off this review with the hardware. This is the headset. It's fairly large, and some of the features that comes with it is that it actually folds up, so you can store it. The earpiece, it originally comes with an earpiece without these two little feet on it. So these little feet keep the device inside of your ear and not flopping around. If I don't have it in, it sort of just kind of it looks silly and it doesn't really work that well. Hey, you over there? Okay, that's great. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get into the pros and cons of this device. It's comfortable and light, which was a very nice feature. The voice control worked very well, and I was really happy with it. And the voice back to me was very useful, and I could understand just about everything that was going on with my device. And the last pro is that it does have really good audio quality. With a device that's touting HD voice, it does sound actually really good coming through the headset. So for the cons, this is a large device. It's one of the largest Bluetooth devices that you can buy, and it's pretty noticeable sitting in your ear. If you don't want to look like a douchebag who's just going to pick up a call at any second, maybe this device isn't for you. Also, it's rather expensive, coming in at $100. It's one of the more expensive Bluetooth devices on the market, although it has a lot of features to overcome that expense. Buy, try, don't buy for the Jabra Supreme Bluetooth headset. I'm going to say try. I did enjoy using this device a lot, but the size and the cost might not be for everyone. Try it out. See if the voice activation works for you, if the talkback lady inside is really great. And just see if you like it. And if you can shell out the cash for it, I would suggest it, but it might not be for everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Chad Johnson with Twit, and Before You Buy, see you next time.
Hi, everyone. Eileen Rivera with Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and today I have the Sony Bloggy HD Live. that sounds familiar. That's because Sony released the Sony Bloggy just last year, and there is a twist to the new version. I'll get to that. Otherwise, the rest of it is pretty similar. 12.8 megapixel camera. It actually can record video up to 1080p, and what's great is that while you're recording video, you can also snap photos at the same time. There is a 3-inch touch capacitive screen on the front here that you can see, and I can toggle around with menus. And right here, you can see all the different photo sizes, all the different recording options. And on the device itself, there is an LCD light that I can turn on by touching on the touchscreen back here. Other great things about this, the video quality and the picture quality were pretty good, I have to say. There is an HDMI out on the device itself, and you could plug this in with the USB 2.0 port. All right, now let's get to the twist of this camera. The big twist here is that now, as you can see, you can live stream. There's Wi-Fi capabilities with this. Hook it up to a Wi-Fi hotspot, and you can be live streaming up to 30 minutes of video using a Quik.com account, Q-I-K.com account. Apply for one of those, and you will be able to stream live. Now, I have to say, the streaming itself is only 480 by 270 VGA, but the video itself records onto the device, so you'll have that 1080p file as well. I did have a hard time hooking this up to Wi-Fi. It's a known issue. Every once in a while, it just wouldn't hook up, and you couldn't record the stream. All right, so quick pros. Battery life, really good, actually. You can imagine that because there's nothing else going on but the camera and actually recording when you turn it on and off. There is decent picture quality as well. Cons, Wi-Fi reception. Also, the price, $250 for this. Lots of smartphones can actually have the Quik app on the phone, and you can do live streaming just as well. So who is this for? Well, maybe if you are a fan of the long dead now flip camera, RIP flip camera, maybe you want to keep a handy pocket size camcorder with you at all times and not have anything else going on with it. But it is $250, so maybe you want to give it to your daughter or your son. You don't want them to have a smartphone, but otherwise, most smartphones today have this capability. So buy, try, don't buy. I say don't buy.
I have to agree with Eileen. I mean, we all carry around cell phones these days. It seems silly to carry a separate device, even though, you know, it's, I guess, cheaper, right? For kids, maybe this might be a good choice, but I don't know. Didn't Cisco get out of the flip cam business? I'm not sure exactly why Sony's still in it. All right, it's my turn to do a little work here. I've got a review for you on an internet radio. You know, I like the idea of internet radios. Of course, most of you have a computer, an iPad, some sort of portable device, your smartphone that you can listen to radio on. But I got a call on the radio show the other day from a woman whose dad wanted to be able to listen to radio stations all over the country at night. He didn't want to keep his wife up, so he wanted something with a headphone. And, of course, he was in his 80s, so he wanted something easy to use. So I recommended this. This is the Grace Mondo, the latest internet radio. Not inexpensive. It's around $180, but it has some features that I think are really going to light you up. First of all, it uses Wi-Fi. So as long as you've got a Wi-Fi network, you can put this radio anywhere that you would put a regular clock radio. It has all the clock radio features, alarm, snooze button, and so forth. But the stations are internet radio stations. You'll use a website called Receiva to program some of these stations, but it's because it's got such a big 3.5-inch LCD screen, this is the easiest to use internet radio I've ever seen. I'm going to press the home button. You see here all the different icons. The basic icon is in the upper left. That's the internet radio icon. It lets you browse 18,000 stations all over the world. You can search for them by name or by location, by genre. There's a special category for college radio and weather radio as well. But let me just show you, as if we search by location, the vast number of stations you're going to get. These are U.S. stations A through Z, but there's Uruguay, United Arab Emirates, Ukraine, U.K., Uganda. Let's go to the U.K. Maybe you'd like to listen to the BBC. We can search again inside of the U.K. via genre or stations. It'll load, look at that, 898 stations in the United Kingdom. Everything from the BBC to, what is that? Zakaria Music Radio. One of the things that I like about this radio is it has separate knobs for volume and for navigating. And this nice big knob on the front lets you navigate. It's also ballistic. It has notches, but if you spin it faster, you'll go through the list faster. With 898 stations, that's really necessary. It lets you to zip through this list very quickly. Now, once you find something you want, how about this? Let's see here. I found a nice one. Oh, yeah. Chillax FM. You'll press the knob to select it. Now, remember, this is internet radio, so the first thing that happens is it's going to buffer the station. It buffers for a little bit. It plays all Shoutcast stations, Icecast stations, many Windows stations. So it has a pretty good variety of stations it can play. Here's the volume knob up here. The station doesn't get very loud, but this is a decent speaker. It's certainly as good as most clock radio speakers, maybe better than most. And as I said, it has a headphone jack on the side here, so you could put better quality headphones in here and get good quality radio. The quality of the radio you get is going to very much be determined by the broadcaster and how... Listen to that. The broadcaster and what they're putting out. This is 128 kilobit MP3, so that's really high quality, CD quality stereo. Some broadcasters unaccountably send a lower quality signal, and you won't be too happy. But again, it's totally up to the broadcaster. These buttons on the left are pre-programmed. It'll make it much easier. This is the home button that goes right to these icons. And again, you've got internet radio, Pandora, iHeartRadio. You've got Sirius XM. If you have a satellite radio or subscription, you can add this too, which is really nice. It also has, let me scroll through here. This is local radio stations. This is a nice feature because, in effect, this becomes a regular radio. These are stations geographically close to here. So you can listen to, and it's amazing, really, almost every station in the world now broadcasts on the internet as well. So you're in an office or a house where you don't get good radio reception, this is a great way to listen to local radio stations, and they come in great. In fact, oftentimes, they sound better than they would on the radio. That's 128 kilobit AAC, so it's actually better than any AM or FM broadcast. And if you hook this up to your stereo, and it does have connections on the back, with RCA line out, so you could hook this up. Can you see that? There you go. You could hook this up to your stereo there. It also has a USB connector. I think that's for downloading firmware or something like that. I'm not sure what that's for. Powered, not battery. Oh, wait a minute. I take it back. Yeah, I guess it is battery. You've got a battery port down here. And aux in as well, so you could use the speaker if you had some other input, maybe an iPod or something like that. You've got music services. This is a somewhat limited list. I'd like to see more music services like Mog, RDO, Rhapsody, that kind of thing. You can put Rhapsody on here if you go through your receiver, but that's it. This is DAR FM, Live 365, a lot of internet radio stations there, MP3 tunes. This is kind of fun. Weather radio from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. There's quite a few stations there. One of the things that makes this a great radio is it's much easier to navigate thanks to this big screen and the good use of buttons here. I really like what they've done. My Stuff is a folder that you populate from the web, from the Receiva site. So that means it's possible to pick 100 or 50 stations that you really like and make it easy to get to them fast. I'm going to leave that right there, don't I? Let's go back button. There's also, what is this? It says media player. What do you think that is? Ah, this is interesting. So these are servers. I can actually, that's what the USB port is. Pull stuff off of my USB port. Also UPnP servers. So if you have a server, a Windows Media Server of the like, this can also be used to play music off of your computer. Here's the alarm. It's got a very capable alarm with lots of settings. I think easier to use really than most clock radios. You got as many as 5 alarms there. A sleep timer, too. So if you like to listen to radio to go to sleep, you can set that. Here's WeatherBug. This is kind of nice because it's just an on-screen weather forecast. So you don't have to tune in weather radio. Here's the aux in, and then there's settings. As is often the case with internet radio, when you first get it, you're going to go online, first set up the Wi-Fi network, and then you're going to go online and download a firmware update. Those are fairly frequent, so you want to check those frequently. Clock is set automatically, which I love, from the internet, so you always have accurate clock settings. You have some equalization, so if you like a lot of bass, you can turn it up. And, of course, you can name your radio if you have multiple radios. Lots of other features in here. The best part of this, as I said, is navigation. As you can see on the left here, there's the home button, which will bring you back to your icon screen. The now playing button, which shows you whatever station is playing. And then these presets. You have P1 through 5 and then P6 through 9. And these can be pre-programmed. So I programmed the stations that I listen to a lot. You just tap it and it'll load that station up. If I can get to it. There it is. Remember, now one issue on internet radio is you've got to load these. It takes a little while to buffer. They don't turn on right away. But I found on a decent Wi-Fi network, you can get really reliable reception. And as I said, because it is pulling it in from the internet, it's often better reception than the radio reception. So let me push this button again. So that's our local News Talk station, the station the tech guy's on in San Francisco, News Talk 910. It connects up. Different stations have different quality, as I mentioned. So, yes, you can listen to Twit Live and many other internet stations. So, there you go. I've got it. I've tuned it in. And now we can... Maybe I better not listen to it. That's going to be very confusing. Yes, you can listen to Twit. It'll be kind of like crossing the streams here. I'll turn that down. A couple of other things I like about it. It does come with a remote control. In fact, the remote control is kind of fun because it has Pandora buttons on it. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and skip. Those are duplicated on the front face. One of the things I love about this radio, and the big pro on this, is very easy to use controls and a big LCD screen. That is really unusual in an internet radio. The sound is excellent, too. On the negative side, the con, it's expensive. $179 is an awful lot to pay. Although a good clock radio, you set you back three figures pretty easily. I think with all the features on here, this is well worth it for somebody who doesn't want to dedicate a computer or an iPad to internet radio listening. And I'll tell you what, if you've got a senior in the family and you've got Wi-Fi, this is fantastic. Audio in, audio out, decent speakers, really easy functionality, and access to 18,000 stations all over the world. I think this is a definite buy. Well, that's it for our show. I thank you so much for joining us. Thank also Dr. Kirsten Sanford, Dr. Kiki to her friends, Tony. Who else reviewed stuff for us? Eileen. And who? Chad. Does he work here? Chad Johnson, too, for a great review. Thank you for watching us. We'll be back next week with more great products. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy.